Thank you, everyone. Alrighty, so today's Bible reading will come from Ephesians chapter 2, and we will be reading from verses 1 to 10. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do.
For 2025, I'm really thankful for God's goodness. And I think God's good is so much better than man's great. I'm thankful for a good marriage, for a good family, for good friends, and for a good church at Trinity.
So I've been really thankful to God over how he's been working in my life over the past year. One of the main things would be the opportunity for me to be able to talk to my boss about Jesus and how good he is. And I've been so thankful for that opportunity and just the way that God has been backing me in even when I don't have the strength to do so myself.
I'm thankful that God has given me a beautiful little boy and the opportunities that that has given me to meet new people and share the love of Jesus with my community.
I am thankful to God that he has provided the Trinity network of churches with godly, servant-hearted men and women in positions of leadership.
I am very thankful for how God has been a provider in many ways for me this year. Not only do we have a place to live, that's the front door, but I also, of course, have a beautiful new wife, and that's something to be very thankful for as well.
I am thankful for the way God has been working through the BLAST program this year. I'm so blessed to be a leader. It's been so encouraging to see God working through the kids and to help them grow in confidence and understanding of what it means to live for Christ.
This year I'm thankful to God for sunrises. And each one strikes me with its beauty. It reminds me that Jesus, the Son of God, rose. And that helps me each day remember that he has dealt with my sin, he's forgiven me. And that gives me hope and life and makes me just excited to live a life that tries to look the same, to forgive and to love.
I'm really, really thankful that God's put me in a community of people that he loves and I get to love and I'm loved in turn as well.
This year I'm thankful for how God has grown our church.
Something that my family and I felt really thankful to God for this year was that partnership that we felt as we headed to Thailand. That was such a blessing and it was lovely to go feeling that support from church family.
So thankful to God for this year, once again, providing Moz to work in our church and for the wonderful job she does in so many different areas and for the way she serves all of us.
The last few years have had periods, significant periods of challenge and pain for our family. Especially for Eva. Even though there have been many times over those last few years that my heart's probably been more full of lament than praise, I'm thankful that God's steadfast love does endure forever, no matter what our life circumstances.
I'm thankful to God for our small group and for the friendships and the great time we have when we meet.
And we're really thankful for rest, particularly after work, and for spaciousness after, what was your word? Constriction.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Just God's seasons and timings to life and God's beautiful nature as well. He's such a blessing and restorative.
This year, I'm thankful to God for giving me the courage to tell my two best friends, my brother and my dad, that I'm a Christian, which was very daunting. I'm also thankful to God for giving me the patience and determination to start reading through the Old Testament, which I've been doing almost every night now.
I'm so thankful for being part of a growth group. It's great to get together, learn more about God together, share with one another, pray for one another, and wonderful opportunity to meet new people or to get to know people that you already know a bit better.
I'm thankful for the way God has loved me and cared for me in this past year with a few challenges in my life. He surrounded me with a encouraging church family who have walked alongside me and lifted me up.
I've been really thankful for our musicians at Trinity. With the two services starting, I was a bit apprehensive with how we were going to manage to find and fill a double amount of services, but God placed it on people's hearts to just willingly serve more than they were before. And the worship at our church has been just a real blessing this year, working with such amazing, talented people.
2025, I'm really grateful for relationships, ones that are as old as I am, with my parents and family. As they go into different stages of life, take on a different kind of relationship. And I'm grateful for relationships in growth group, deepening understanding there of people and their faiths. And really excited for the change in relationships at 5 p.m. in that community, seeing people take on new roles and how their faith and their relationship with God grows. So very grateful for relationships.
Well, as Mark said, today is all about joy and thankfulness. We're kind of week two in our vision series. Some of the vision, if you weren't here last week and didn't get one of the vision documents, there are a few more copies out in the foyer, so please grab one on your way out. But God has been so good to us in so many ways, hasn't he? He's blessed us in so many ways this year, and it's great to hear stories of people sharing the ways he's done that, and we'll hear a few more later on in the service, because we just have so much to thank God for. So let's pray now as we take a closer look at this incredible passage in Ephesians together. Lord God, as we consider your incredible goodness to us, we ask that we would be moved to praise. We ask that we'd be moved to live in light of this new identity you give us. So please be with us now. Amen. Well, at the Bible college I studied at, SMBC, shout out, every year you'd get a college fee at the start of the year. And this was a fee you had to pay. It was for things like lunches and your college mission trip and some extra subjects that were kind of compulsory. And so you'd start your year with this big fee. I think it was about $3,000. I couldn't actually remember. But for a college student, it may as well have been $50,000, right? Like, I would get this fee and just look at it and go, I have no idea how we are going to pay this off. We were struggling to pay for groceries at the time, let alone this big fee. So it would just sit there and I'd go, I don't know what to do with this. I was the student who, I'd get phone calls from the finance person at SMBC and he'd say, Mitch, you really need to start paying off this fee. And I'd go, yeah. I'll get the money. It felt like I was like doing some shady underdealings. I'll get the money for you. And I'd avoid him at sort of at lunch and morning tea. Anyway, I had this fee. I didn't know how to pay it. It was getting towards the end of the year when it needed to be paid. And I just didn't know. I had no idea how I would pay for this fee. And so I was praying about it. I was sharing with a couple of my friends about it who you know, were also college students. I thought these guys will be able to relate. They'll be praying for me as I sort of struggle with this. Anyway, one afternoon, one of these mates, he comes up to me and he goes, oh, Mitch, me and my wife, we were chatting and we were wondering if we could pay your fee for you. And I remember just, I was completely, my brain just like shut down. I went, oh, no, it's all good, we're fine. And he kind of looked at me and he's like, oh, really? I thought you were struggling. And I sort of had to take a moment to recalibrate and go, oh, actually, no. We do need the help. That would be amazing. It was genuinely one of the most jarring acts of generosity and kindness I'd ever experienced. Generosity so significant that it just left me with nothing else to do but just say, wow, thank you. The funny thing about that moment was we'd had plenty of sort of financial difficulty through college before this. So Jazz and I, we'd been in sort of financial squeezes before and had prayed about it and seen God provide. And I was determined this time. I was like, I know God is going to provide. I'm not going to be surprised when he does. But in this moment, coming from a fellow broke college student, it floored me. I was so shocked at the generosity I received from my friend, but also the goodness of God in answering my prayers. I wonder if you've ever experienced incredible generosity like that. A generosity that just leaves you with nothing else to save up. Wow, thank you. I wonder if you've ever experienced a gift like that. Well, if you're a follower of Jesus, your answer to that question is yeah, I have. Because here in Ephesians 2, this is the picture we get of God, of his incredible generosity to us. This undeserved gift of grace that we receive from him just leaves us in awe, thanking him for his goodness to us. So as we reflect on God's goodness and kindness today, as we thank him for the things he's done in our lives, in our church, physical sort of tangible things that we see, we also want to spend time grasping at an even deeper sense the kindness God shows to us in Christ. Because of the greatest act of generosity we could ever receive, the greatest gift of love, the kindest thing anyone has ever done for us, is this free gift of life through his Son. So this is what we're going to see from our passage this morning. Apart from Christ, we are dead. With Christ, we are made alive. And in Christ, we are God's handiwork. So let's have a look. Apart from Christ, we are dead. If you were here last week, you'll remember we heard from Chris up on the screen preaching from Ephesians chapter 1, which is this kind of dense passage, but just so full of praise for God, for the love that he lavishes on his children, for just his delight in pouring out spiritual blessings on us. It's just this incredible picture of God's goodness to us. And so in chapter 1, we're looking at God and we're just marveling at him and how good he is, just the blessings he lavishes on us. And then we kind of get to chapter 2 here, and it's kind of like the camera pans across to us, the church. And what does Paul say? As for you, you were dead. You were dead. Dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. It's a little bit of a gear shift, but our gaze from God kind of turns to us, and the contrast is pretty strong. We've got this God who is just so full of wisdom and love, who works out everything in conformity for the purpose of his will. Paul's just spoken about Christ, who is far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. And then we've got us, dead. Dead in our sins. So stuck in our sin, we are unable to do anything about it. Like me with my college fee, just seeing this debt I needed to pay, but being so completely unable to do anything about it. Physically dead people cannot do anything to address their physical needs. It's beyond them. Likewise, spiritually dead people cannot do anything to address their spiritual needs. It's beyond them. This is the Apostle Paul's point. Humanity's sin leaves them separated from God, and they have no capacity to fix that problem. And notice in verse 3, he's not just talking about the drug dealers and the murderers of the world. This isn't just a picture of the really bad people. This is a problem for everyone. This is the picture for all of us. Without Christ, we have no life. We are dead, helpless. Paul goes on in verse 2 to describe what this dead life outside of Christ looks like. He says he describes it as sort of following the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Now, this ruler of the kingdom of the air that he's sort of making reference to is the devil. So that sounds a little bit intense, doesn't it? Like, is Paul saying all unbelievers are devil worshippers? No, he's not. What he's saying is Satan is at work in the world. There are evil spiritual forces active in our world seeking to draw people away from God. And whether people are aware of it or not, they are subject to his influence and his working in the world. And then in verse 3, he also describes this dead life outside of Christ as gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. So, not only is there enemy kind of at work out there, not only are there forces sort of out there trying to draw people away from God, but there's threat in here too. Our own sinful natures are also at work. Not just external factors at play, but a heart problem. A sinful heart that prioritizes selfishness and pride, also leading people away from God. And most importantly, Paul says, this dead life outside of Christ is by nature deserving of wrath. A life of rebellion and disobedience and disregard for God, a life outside of Christ is deserving of punishment. That's good and that is just. A perfect God must punish sin. That is right. And it is what we deserved. But as Paul is addressing these Ephesian Christians here, you've probably noticed he's using past tense. He says, you were. This is how you used to live. All of us lived at one time. This is a true reality, but for the Christian, it is a past reality. That was the picture, but it's not anymore. How? Well, with Christ, we are made alive. Look at verse 4. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. There's such a big but here at the start of verse 4, but it is a good but. The reason that this true reality of verses 1 to 3 has now become a past reality for the Christian has nothing to do with us, but it's all about God. It's because of his love and his mercy and his grace that we are made alive. No longer dead in our sins, but made alive in Christ. Why would God do that? He doesn't have to do that. But he does it because he is such a loving God, because he is so full of love for us. He doesn't do it because we were kind of close. We were almost there and we just fell short. He doesn't do it because he sees we've got potential and we just needed a little nudge to get over the line. He does it because of his love. Even while we were dead, so far from meeting the standard, so incapable of giving ourselves life. But it's because of his great love for us. Because he is so rich in mercy, he withholds the punishment we deserve because of his amazing grace that he bestows on us, this gift of life. But that's not even all of it. Look at verse 6. Paul goes on, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Paul says we are raised up with Christ in his resurrection, and we are seated with him in the heavenly realms. We are with Christ. We now have a union with him that is so strong that what is true of him is true of us. Just as he rose from the dead, so too we will rise from the dead. Just as he is seated in the heavenly realms, we too are seated in the heavenly realms. We know we will have life after death. We know that we have such close access to Jesus' position of authority in the heavenly realms that we have power to overcome the devil and any evil force that opposes us. And God does this to show the incomparable riches of his grace. We are like trophies of his grace, where God can say, look at Mitch, look at Josh, look at Carolyn. I can take a mess like that. Look at them, objects of my grace. And just to reinforce the obvious, Paul reminds us in verse 9, this is purely a work of God. It's a gift from him, so we have nothing to boast about. What an incredible act of generosity. What an amazing gift of love. What kindness and grace. An act that just gives us so much assurance that our salvation is not dependent on our consistency, but on Christ. An act that just completely humbles us, that reminds us we have no ability to take any credit. An act that reminds us we have nothing to boast in of ourselves but Christ, and praise him for what he has done. I don't know if you noticed it in the video. There are a couple really great examples. Josh in that video, he thanked God for the opportunities he had given him to share his faith. He praised God for helping him when he couldn't have done it himself. Now, Josh doesn't go around, to my knowledge, doesn't go around going boasting at how incredible of an evangelist he is. Now, he praises God for the work he has done in his life. Or we heard Paul share about sort of pain and hardship. And he didn't say, well, during those tough seasons, it was our inner strength and grit that got us through. No, it was God's steadfast love that sustained him. Praising God for the life we have in Jesus and the undeserved graces, the gifts we receive every day from him. Christians should be the most thankful people in the world because we know how undeserving of God's good gifts we are. Let's see some of the other things people are praising and thanking God for in our church.
I want to thank God for just that sense of belonging and family and community that I have every time I'm at church and with God's people. It's just great.
So one of the things that we've been really grateful to God for this year is for the involvement of older people in our kids' lives. So not just like really old, but definitely, you know, some 70, 80 year olds that are in their lives, but also some of the like teenage sort of people that are in their lives as well. It's been a real blessing to us to see other people love and care for them.
I'm so grateful to God for the way that he has grown and sustained our young adults group this year. It's been such a blessing to get to meet with people every week, to just be in fellowship with one another. Damo and Chelsea cook for us and host us so beautifully, and all our leaders come with such great things to say.
I'm thankful for the way God has blessed my move to Adelaide and that I've found lots of friends and been able to stay with family and have found a church. It's you guys. I just love getting to know all the young adults in the young adults group and be a part of that. It's been amazing.
I'm very thankful to God for my time at the Bible College of South Australia, for the way that it has shaped not only my thinking but also my character and my faith.
I'm so thankful to God for how he's been graciously teaching me to depend on him and to surrender to him in every circumstance.
We're grateful for the opportunity to spend Christmas with our family in Colombia.
the first time in 9 years that Natalie will be able to celebrate with them.
I am very thankful to him every day for my husband, for the wonderful family I gained through him, which is a true reminder that love multiplies when it's shared. Being so far away from my family isn't always easy, but in his kindness, God has surrounded them with the right people and has opened doors for me to stay connected and to share meaningful time with them.
This year I'm so grateful for a roof over my head, cars to drive, a family to be with and to be on holidays with, and stable employment.
I am thankful to God for contentment.
And I'm thankful for the community that he's put me in this year, all our lovely neighbours.
And I'm really thankful for all of the answered prayers this year that God's granted.
I'm thankful for the way God has been really faithful to us both, even during dry patches in our lives.
We're very thankful for our unborn baby, which is due in March next year.
I'm grateful to God for the privilege of getting to work with many servant-hearted people in our various church ministries. They're a wonderful example of God's grace in action.
I just want to say how thankful I am to be part of this family, this church family. We moved up here just over a year ago and it's been a real blessing getting to know you all. People have been so hospitable and generous in having us round for lunches and dinners, and it's just been wonderful.
So thankful for his provision, how he blesses us in so many ways.
I am thankful this year for the gift of time God has blessed our family with. Just this year being able to spend time together as a family and have a bit of fun before Jane left and without any illness. It's been a very precious year.
I'm also super grateful for the people here in this community and the support they've been. I think God knew what we needed before we did. He's good like that. So I'm very grateful for the friendship of the ladies, and also I'm thankful for the people that have invested in my kids this past year and the beautiful support that they've had through this community.
I'm so thankful to God for the work that he has done in my life this year, particularly through my growth group, through the leadership of Adrian and Anne and the rest of the group. It has just been an amazing experience.
My mum and I have been reading the Bible this year, and we thank God for giving us perseverance to finish the whole Bible. We also thank God for the opportunity to go to Thailand with Beck and Richard. Our family has been blessed.
For the way God has looked after us over the last months, for the love and care we've received from our church family, and for the excellent care we received at Flinders Medical Centre and at Flinders Rehab here, so that Janet is making real progress. That's it.
That's not actually it. I got one more point. That video wasn't going to go where I thought it was going to go. So, apart from Christ, we are dead. With Christ, we are made alive. And lastly, we see that in Christ, we are God's handiwork. Verse 10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We are made for good works. We're not saved by good works, but we are saved for good works. It's not good works that save us. We're saved by grace. We've established that. We don't do good things for God's approval. We don't do good things so that maybe he'll be nicer to us. We don't do good things to be deemed worthy by God. We're not saved by good works, but we are saved for good works. This undeserved grace that we receive, it changes us. It changes the way we live. We are created in Christ to do good works, to live lives of obedience to God, to live lives of love, to set aside the desires of our own heart and to live for God. And God has these good works prepared in advance for us to do. I wonder, what good works does God have in store for you for the rest of today? What good works does God have in store for you this coming week? Whether that's in your homes, in your neighborhoods, in your workplace, at school or at uni? Or I wonder, what good works does God have in store for you next year? To show his love in tangible ways, to reflect his goodness in the way you conduct yourself, to share the good news of his incredible saving grace. What good works does God have in store for you? And you know what? Those good works might come at a cost. In fact, they will come at a cost to your time, to your talents, and to your treasures. But I wonder what good works God has in store for you. Now, of course, the ways could be endless, right? But just in light of our vision series, thinking about 2026, could we just lean into that for a moment? Over the past few weeks, it's been super encouraging to hear some of the good works people have been doing in our church. Some of the things we heard from Phoebe and her mum's group and the way she's meeting new mums and opening up our space for them to meet in. We heard from Moz, who's president of the Netball Society or whatever it is. Opportunities to rub shoulders with people in our community, being good neighbours. It costs time. It requires our talents. It requires our energy, our effort. And it even costs our treasures. It costs us our money. Showing kindness and love, doing good works, it comes at a cost. But we are God's handiwork, created in Christ to do good works. So I wonder if you could think back to a few weeks ago where we had a bunch of post-it notes and we stuck them to the wall. If you weren't here, that's okay. They were commitments to how we are going to be looking to get to know more people who don't yet know Jesus. What good works does God have in store for you in those places? Another way we're able to give of our time and talents and treasure is to do good works through our church, in serving in various ministries. We had a chance a few weeks back to fill in our ministry forms, and we had such a positive response from that. I think as a church, we really get this one. I didn't make a video. There was a notable exclusion there. But if I was to say what I was thankful for this year, I would say I'm super thankful to God for those who lead in our church. With an extra gathering that we started at 5 p.m., we've had more teams that meant we needed more leaders. And that requires a fair bit more stress and responsibility than just sort of turning up on the day to do a task. Managing people, no less volunteers, can be tricky. So I've been so thankful for those who have stepped into leadership. There is good works God has prepared for us to do in our church. So if you're not currently in a team or serving, could I encourage you to think about that? And maybe that's something you could do. I wonder what good works God has in store for you through your ministry team. And then finally, the good works God has in store for us don't just cost our time and our talents, they cost us our treasure. They cost us our money. It will cost you financially to invest in a friendship. It will cost you financially to show generosity to a coworker. It costs us financially to give to the ministry of our church. I'm so thankful for the many who do count the cost, that consider this good works that God has prepared for us to do as a church are worth that cost and give regularly to our church. I actually even get the occasional privilege of having a conversation or just sort of being let in on a conversation that here's the ways people go above and beyond in this, like the conversations of I would love to support this specific ministry and give a one-off gift to enable that to happen because I really believe that is worth it. I've seen this for Impact Camp earlier this year. I see it in young adults regularly. We've seen it with the camels for our pageant. God has good works prepared for us to do as a church, but it will cost us financially. And we've got exciting plans for next year. Some of them are in the vision doc, if you got one of them last week. If you don't, there is copies out in the foyer. But things like getting us reading the Gospel of Mark one-to-one with a friend who doesn't go to church, our life courses, our kids' holiday club that we're going to run, our trip to Cooper Pedy, Light the Hills, our pageant, our carols, as well as the many kind of regular weekly things that just keep running all year round in our church. Now, next week, we're going to have an opportunity to respond to the financial needs of our church by anonymously pledging what we're able to give so that our leadership team can make informed decisions around our budget for next year. So this is me kind of notifying you now. This week, could you be praying about this? If you're married, this is the week for you to grab your spouse, sit down with a glass of wine, some chockey, and talk about this. Because we're going to get to next week and you're going to have your pledge forms and you're going to look at each other and go, oh, we should talk about this before we write something down. But this is me telling you, this is your week to think about this, to talk about it, and to pray this over. And as you're doing this, there are three questions that I would love for you to pray through this week. The first is, we are seeking $10,000 in one-off gifts to get us to meet our 2025 budget by the end of the year. So would you pray about, are you able to give to help our church reach that goal? The second thing to pray about, our budget next year is increasing by 7%. So are you able to increase your personal giving by 7% to help meet those needs? And then the last one to be praying about this week, if you are not currently giving, are you able to start? Now, you may be able to come back next week and answer yes to all these questions, but you might not, and that's okay. But would you at least pray about this week? Consider it, count the cost, weigh it up, pray about it. We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. It's not always easy. It does come at a cost, but it's what we are saved for. I'm excited to see what God has in store for us, both on an individual level next year, but also collectively as a church together. What good works might God have in store for you as you live as his handiwork, as you live in response to his amazing grace? Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for your kindness and your mercy and your grace. Thank you that you love us so much, that you would make us alive in Christ and you would give us good works to do. God, we ask that that truth would never become stale to us. Give us hearts that continually rejoice and praise you, and give us lives that live out the good works you have prepared for us. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.